This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, March 8, 2023, by Father William Doc Holliday.
My people have forgotten me. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those words are from the chapter from which the first reading came today, Jeremiah 18. My people have forgotten me. That is what the whole story is about. We didn't hear those words. It is one of those times when we have three verses of scripture, and in those three verses, we see something going on, and unless you know what happened beforehand or after, you don't get what's going on. This is kind of par for the course right now. But it also adds to my whole point. I should say God's point. My people have forgotten me. We're people who forget readily. How soon we forget. In this particular case right here, God's people have forgotten him to the point where they are offering false worship to false gods, human sacrifice in some cases. These are the people who were given the law on Mount Sinai, and those people, when they were given the law, we hear them say, we agree with everything you said. We want you to be our God. We will be your people. And now they're sacrificing their children to false gods. God's people soon forget. The apostles, how soon they forget? The third time our Lord Jesus has spoken about his upcoming passion, and what happens? He gets into talking about his passion, the end all be all as to why he came into the world to die for our sins, and he gets on putting it forward again, and what happens? Two of the disciples send their mom up to ask him for something. See, he gets into talking about his passion. And then the sons of Zebedee came up and said, hey, let my son sit at your right hand. How soon we forget? Like a couple moments before, he's talking about his passion, and all of a sudden, you guys are bantering back and forth. He's going to sit on his right hand or on his left. Not only you two bantering back who's going to be a right or left hand, the other 10 are getting all upset about it. I mean, how many times has our Lord told them about, you know, loving one another and being servants one to another and all this kind of stuff? And it never, oh, we forgot. We're like that. We forget. We can't wag our heads at them because the same thing is going on right now as we speak in the church. God's people have forgotten him. They have forgotten who he is, what he desires of, what he demands of us, how to live a Catholic life. We've forgotten what it is to be Catholic. I mean that in a purest sense of the word, because when I say be Catholic, because the Catholic Church did not start in 1965. The Catholic Church had been around for 2,000 years before that. 2,000 years. It is one holy Catholic and apostolic church. It is anchored on the teaching of the apostles, not vogue fads that culture comes up with. It's the apostolic faith, and it's been forgotten by a whole lot of people in the church. As I did not say the church forgot, because the church never will forget. There is one holy Catholic and apostolic church. There are still people out there who believe the Catholic faith that has been handed down from the apostles for 2,000 years and not got caught up in the stuff. But there's a lot of people that darken the doors of Catholic parishes every single week that have forgotten God. They don't even know who he is anymore. That's why you get so often that whole, my God is this and my God is that. You are exactly correct. Your God, the idol you've made up in your own mind, that is who your God is, not the God has revealed himself. We forget some very important things, like who God is. What did you usually hear when you're in a lot of places now? Basically, this message: grace and mercy, grace and mercy. He's going to look away from every sin. There are prelates in the church, prelates, bishops and above, who believe everybody's going to heaven. They believe that's called universalism. It's a heresy. It was condemned by the church very early on, but you got bishops in the church right now who tout it. Universalism, everybody's going to go to heaven. No, they're not. Most aren't. How about that? Those are Jesus' stats. Most aren't going to heaven. Many are called, but few are chosen. The way to heaven is a narrow gate. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. There's a lot more on broad roads than there are on thin roads. Narrow paths. This is who God is. He does pardon. He is gracious and merciful to the penitent. To the penitent. You have to do penance for your sins. You have to repent. That doesn't mean I'm sorry that I didn't follow the rules. It means to turn your back from what you're doing and turn your face toward Him. That's repentance. That's what the word means, is to turn away from something and toward something else. In our case, it's towards someone else, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who God really is. He is unfathomably gracious and merciful, but you don't even need His grace and mercy unless His justice is hanging over your head. That is the reality of things. That is who God is. And He is not presented that way in a lot of places. And not only who He is, but what He expects of His people. He expects His people to be virtuous. He expects His people to live a life as if they have repented, turned away from their sins and turned toward Him, taken up their cross and followed Him. He expects virtue from His people, and He punishes the wicked. You don't hear homilies, unfortunately, in most places anymore about Him punishing people. And that's why there was a limitation on the reading tonight. Because, oh my gosh, go home and read Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah is all up in your face, as is God. This is the reality of who God is, what He expects from His people, and how He reacts when He doesn't get what He demands. Well, that was Jeremiah. He's a prophet and everything. I always get a kick out of it, how everybody likes to, when it comes to certain subjects, they love the whole priesthood of believers thing. You hear so much about clericalism nowadays. Well, Jesus was a clericalist. Newsflash, He called 12 men to follow Him. He had a really cool selection of women to follow Him too, like His Blessed Mother, the Immaculate One, Mary Magdalene, who hung around when all His apostles ran away. He had a lot of good women. He chose 12 men. Okay, He chose 12 men, called them toward, and then they hand down that ministry to other men that He has called to Himself. That's the there is a priesthood of all believers, and then there is a ministerial priesthood. But everybody likes it with a badmouth clericalism. We're a priesthood of all believers. Yeah, you are. So start acting like it. Start acting like it. Start presenting God's message to all your pagan friends, or all your friends who have disaffected from the church, don't go to Mass anymore. That's what God expects of the priesthood of all believers, because the ministerial priesthood is there to equip you to do that. It's not actually their job to go out and confront. I don't know your family. I don't know your friends. And I got enough time for you to send me an email and go, hey, this person's wayward. You better go check him out. And no, that's your job. That's your ministry. Go and make disciples. That's us. And it starts within our close circle of friends. The priesthood of all believers are His messengers. They are small p prophets. So everything that Jeremiah did in his reaction should be yours also. Jeremiah got really, really cranky with people who he tried to show charity toward. How did he try to show? Because he told them what God said, exactly how God said it. If Jeremiah lived in our day and age, you go, well, God said, don't do this and do that, and they better change this. That might offend some of them, so I'm going to only tell them this part. I'm only going to tell them that part. Jeremiah wouldn't last long. Jeremiah told the people everything that God wanted them to say, and they didn't like it. They did not like it. And both God and Jeremiah get, let us just say, real upset about it. Jeremiah, talking to God, "Forgive not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from your sight." Wow. I won't even get into the part where he says, "Deliver up their children to famine and the sword." Yeah, that's called an imprecatory psalm, an imprecatory prayer, a prayer that calls God's justice down on people. Jeremiah is not praying this prayer, "Hey, they made me mad, so I want you to punish them." That is not at all why he prays that. They won't even let you hear the words of it anymore, that one of God's servants would pray such a prayer. But it's not wrong to do that. It's not wrong when you want to vindicate God's glory. Our Lord Jesus Christ did that. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yes, he did on the cross when the offense was against him. But when the offense was against the Father in the temple, for instance, when they were buying and selling and not praying there, what was his reaction then? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Nuh-uh. No, he formed a whip. And he took it to them, drove them and their animals out of the and then came back and kicked over all their stuff. Why? Because the offense was against God. And our Lord was outraged at the offense against God. He was indignant against the offense against God. This is our reaction. What would Jesus do? Something like that. But again, you know, when you don't hear about those kind of things, or when they're talked about and then misconstrued, I've heard that temple cleansing, I've heard that thing butchered before. Oh, no, Jesus didn't really touch anybody. What? Why do you form a scourge? "Hey, look, I got this. You better get out of here." You know how many of them were there? I like it. Only him, not his apostles and him, just him. Now, all these guys, but why didn't they just jump on him? Because he had a whip and he was going to town. Yeah, he was very serious about this. Why? He was indignant against the offense against God. We should be indignant against the offenses against God that we see. When you visit somewhere else and you see somebody walk away from the Eucharistic minister with our Blessed Lord in their hands and carry it back to do whatever, something needs to be said. There needs to be a confrontation. There needs to be a confrontation. Your Lord is getting ready to be desecrated. Just them leaving the presence of the one who administers, that's a whole different subject, but just leaving the presence of somebody who administers a sacrament without placing it in your mouth is a sacrilege, not to mention a violation of canon law. But how many people do you see walk away holding our Lord in their hands? They should be have confrontation ministers on either side watching. Oh, no, we would never want to do that. That might cause conflict. Yeah, like in the temple. We need to desire God's vindication. That's part of being the priest of all believers that everybody just loves when they're bashing clericalism. They don't want to act like it. Jeremiah, like I said, he's not asking God to do something like God hadn't figured out already, because all these things that he said were hanging over their head. They were already hanging over their head because they had forgotten God. Jeremiah is just saying, let it happen. Let it happen. I've tried to tell them. They're not changing. Let it happen. It's a hard prayer every now and then, but I've had to pray it for some of my own family members. Where you just reach a point, I'm like, God, I pray that you can be as easier, but no matter what you have to do, I hope you do it. And it scares the heck out of me when I say that, and it's been more than once. These should be our prayers, that what they have hanging over their head could happen, just that it may save their souls. You know, St. Paul, in the epistles, with St. Paul, excommunicates somebody and actually articulates it like this. Just, yeah, he got kicked out of the church. He can't receive communion. St. Paul says, I turned him over to Satan. I turned him over to Satan that his soul may be saved. This is reality of who God is and what he expects. And what he expects of each and every one of us. A lot of, again, the whole misconstrued, and it is true. Our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's got a reason. You know, when he's laying on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He could have very well gone, oh, Father, everything that is hanging over their head for doing this, let it happen. And he would have been well within his parameters to do that, and he would well in the realms of righteousness. But he did. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I would tell everybody, whenever I talk about that passage, it always demonstrates to me how far away from Jesus that I am. That is just so foreign a thought to me Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, why they're running railroad spikes through your hands and feet. Who does that? Jesus does that. But why did Jesus do that? Because for us and for Jeremiah, we can just conjecture and think about what's hanging over their head as far as their punishment. Jesus Christ knows in great detail what's going to happen to the sinners, most of whom are going to wind up in hell. He knows exactly what that's going to be like for all eternity, separated from God, torments beyond imagination, terror beyond imagination. Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor can heart conceive of the terrors in hell, because it's the opposite side of the coin of what St. Paul says about heaven. Hell is the opposite of heaven. We can't fathom how bad it's going to be there, but our Lord knows. He knows every shred and every detail of what's going to happen. This is why he prays for them, because he knows what's hanging over their head. And unfortunately, he knows that most of them are going to receive what's hanging over their head. This is why he prays the way he does. So to avoid this for people, and avoid it for ourselves, we need to approach our Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, that we be given the fortitude to be good members of the priesthood of all believers and confront where sin needs to be confronted, and to also not hesitate to be indignant when God's honor is not vindicated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.